I'm Josh Bittner, producer for Market to Market. Here's our podcast you can only find online. Being a digital friend has benefits.
This is the Friday, July 24, 2020 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now, Mark Gold. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Well, I remember the last time we talked, I believe there was some $11 hamburger near you. I know it was a little higher than normal. Have you noticed anything like that in the grocery store, or anticipate that you're going to see that again, given the events of infections going up here in recent weeks?
You know, the hamburger prices have come down dramatically. Box beef prices have come down 400 down to 200 in that range. So it's caused the hamburger prices to go with it. I don't think we're going to see that for a while, as long as the abattoirs stay open, keep slaughtering cattle. I think it was just one of those 3 or 4 week deals that, you know, packers were making a fortune and they got away with it. So fortunately, a lot of that wasn't didn't wind up back in the farmer pockets. But it is what it is, and it was there for a little while.
Let's stay with a little bit of the livestock industry. When it comes to dairy prices, we had been on this incredible train up in class three. Last 2 weeks, we've given a little bit of that. Is that a trend? Does 2 weeks make a trend here in dairy? Are we headed back down?
Well, I don't know if we're headed up or down or not. Here's one thing I do know. Every time milk gets to $23, we seem to go back to 12 or 11. Every time we get to a 12 or 11, we seem to go back to 21 or 23. Pretty hard. If, you know, I'd love to see it close over 23 one day, maybe push it up to 30. But I don't know that that's going to happen anytime soon. As you know, the milk market is as much about cheese as anything else. And are we selling as many pizzas out there? You know, we're selling a lot. Pick up and delivery pizzas, but it still doesn't make up for what's lost in the restaurants. So, you know, I'm a little bit skeptical of milk prices up here. Again, we're at $21, $22. Spend 30 cents a hundred, buy a put, protect the downside. And if we go back to $16 or $15 milk, you've got some protection there.
We talked about weather a little bit, mentioned how dry it was. The drought monitor comes out on Thursday. The data ends the previous Tuesday. Coming out this weekend, USDA is going to call producers and ask for crop condition reports. How come, yes, they're different days, but why is it that a report might say conditions are excellent where there's drought? How is there a disconnect? That was a question that Dan asked us. I guess I'm kind of paraphrasing here a little bit. He says the drought map in Iowa doesn't seem to match the crop conditions. And so he's asking, Mark, what gives?
Well, what gives is a state rating. And when you average the state, you know, where it's good, you could be looking at 210, 220 bushel corn. Where it's bad, you could be looking at 130, 140 bushel corn. So we have to understand that it's a state average. So unfortunately, we don't break it up into enough micro sections to really get that good of a look at it. But we do know that there's some areas in Iowa that are certainly hurting in western Iowa, west central Iowa. There's that big hole in the maps that show it. And is the yield in Iowa there? I would say maybe what's happening in eastern Iowa, particularly in the northeast. In the northeast, is offsetting some of those yields that we're seeing in central Iowa.
Producer Peter Tubbs was sharing an article from a rival publication today talking about why it doesn't rain on your farm. And if you're in western Iowa, you think, why doesn't it rain on my farm? There is an actual scientific reason for that. It's the rain needs moisture to happen when it gets dry, and that's the tough cycle about these things.
Yeah.
So if you're in those areas and you're stuck, and say it's not going to be west central Iowa forever, next year it might be southern Illinois or central Illinois. What do you do if you're in that situation, Mark, where I'm in a drought but everybody else is not?
Get into church on Sunday. I wish I had a better answer for you. But, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and a little time spent in church praying for some rain doesn't do you any harm. But seriously, there's nothing that we can do. You go in these cycles where it's dry, it stays dry, where it's right, it creates that moisture you were talking about. We're going to get this apparently huge storm in Hawaii over the weekend. They say it's largest storm in the planet at the moment. Is that going to be able to move things around enough to affect the U.S. mainland? We don't know. But, you know, things can change. I hope the guys that are dry, you know, get some rain. It's been a tough enough couple of years where you don't want to be the one guys in the state that are not getting that rain. It just, it makes a tough job that much tougher.
Phil in Dresden, Ontario, has a soybean question that is also tied to weather, Mark. He's asking, November beans closed Thursday at 9:03. With the critical August rain timeline in front of us, should farmers hold the line on sales or sell big into any weather rally?
Well, I want to see how this market acts in this next week. I exercise some calls today in the August calls. I think there's some upside potential in here. Do you sell all of it now? No. I would look at buying some kind of cheap put, September put, to get you through the next 3 to 4 weeks. Hope you don't need it if the market moves dramatically higher. But if we do get the rains in August, you know, it's going to be hard to rally this market. Now, will the Chinese step up and buy enough in that time period if we do break? That's been their habit. They don't reach up and buy rallies. They buy breaks. So if the weather gives them an opportunity to buy more on a break, that's what they're going to do. But you feel terrible if you're sitting there and haven't protected anything, the market's heading down. You know, that's why some of these short-dated or, you know, short-term puts can make a big impact on your marketing, because you feel better, got some protection there. The market's going down, you're saving some of that dough.
Well, there's a question from Doug, and it's one that has really kind of gotten the attention of many people, and it's a little bit about what you just said. Doug's asking, I wonder if in lieu of escalating tensions between USA and China, if China will push up the buy of products.
I don't see that big time right now. I don't think they want to give the president the leg up and, you know, let the president get on the pedestal and say, the trade deal was great. Look at how much they're buying. Not with the tensions that are going on. So I don't see them front loading the sales as much as they could. As I've said, they're going to buy what they want to buy when they need it. And that's going to be the case. After the election, then we could see the big spurt of buying. We've been saying they want to increase hog production. Chinese corn prices are through the roof. So they need feed, and hopefully the U.S. is going to be the mark. But are they going to really front load this thing and let this thing really take off now? I think they're much more likely to wait till we get into harvest, push some pressure, harvest pressure on the grains, and then watch them step up and take a lot of grain at cheap prices.
I get this question almost every week following any time we talk about China. People asking me, why should we even be dealing with China in the first place? It's a country that is not human rights friendly. They're not good at doing business with us on what we like to consider. Citing things like that, wondering, there are a lot of consumers. That's the short answer, right? And why we do business
that's
with them?
That's the short answer.
Is there the longer one we could go for an hour or a day and discuss, right?
They need the grain. They're our trading partners. Yes, we've been abused in the process. And yeah, they do a lot of really nasty things to their people. And, you know, it's a communist regime. But the fact of the matter is, if you could use products like our grain to help make peace and to make things a little bit less tough around the world, I think that's a good policy. I've always been a big negative kind of guy when we use our grain in politics. Jimmy Carter did it. That was a disaster. These tariffs have been very tough on the American farmer. Let the food go where it needs to go. Keep the politics out of the food. Put the politics somewhere else, electronics or, you know, you name it. It could be a million other places. But it always seems like the easy target is agriculture.
All right, let's move on to wheat before we both get into trouble. $6 wheat, Troy in Wisconsin. He's asking, is $6 wheat fact or fiction? looking mainly at the July and September contracts of 2021. What do you see there?
Well, fact or fiction? The way these spreads are going, the way they're having problems in the Black Sea areas, the way the dollar is going, it certainly isn't fact right now. We don't have it. Is it fiction in that it can't happen? Absolutely not. So, you know, guys have been sitting on wheat a long time. I think we're going to get an opportunity to sell more wheat on these rallies. And you don't want to be a pig about it. There's still plenty of wheat around the world. So you sell them some wheat and buy back some call options to keep the upside open. Just manage the risk out there.
All right. Well, I got to manage a risk question a little bit from Scott in Wisconsin. And he's asking about December 2021 corn, asking at these current, would you go long on that contract at current prices or wait for a lower price? Would you cover your feed needs for livestock for the year at these prices or wait for another leg down?
I don't see anything wrong covering feed needs in the low threes, which is basically where we're at. You know, can we go to 280? Yeah, I suppose we can. Could something happen to push us back up to $5 or $6 corn? Just look at the Chinese corn prices. It can happen. It can happen in a hurry. There are a lot of things that can change in this market in a dime. And I don't want to be the guy that's making massive commitments in the lower third of historical pricing. I want to be the guy that when we get in the upper third, that's where I want to do the heavy marketing. So I wouldn't be in a big rush to do it here. Hopefully some of the government programs will help you get through this. It's going to be tough. There's no question about it. But if for whatever reason, whether it's a banking issue or whatever issue you might have, and you want to sell or need to sell grain here, I would certainly look at re-owning it with call options and keep the upside open. One thing we haven't talked about is this whole real inflationary cycle that can move these markets in a big way, and people just may not understand what's going to be happening here. But if this inflation hits like I believe it can hit, that can add a lot of change onto these prices that we're seeing in the grains and in the livestock.
I got to follow up, and I was going to maybe skip this question, and I shouldn't. Aaron was asking on Twitter, we all know how cattle can follow major stock market moves and trends, but what happens if the grains, if stocks crash this week into the end of August?
Well, if the stocks crash, the cattle market's going to be very tough. Like I said, we're on a $20-$21 rally. I don't like the way the whole COVID thing is going. The unemployment numbers took a little bit of an upturn. I think that gets a little bit worse before it gets better. We're closing down, like we said, California, Arizona, Texas, and Florida. None of that's good for the meat markets. We're on a rally. Buy some puts. Protect the downside. Hope everything's okay.
Okay. All right, Mark. I appreciate your time as always. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Paul. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
All right. It's Mark Gold. Thank you so much. That will do it for this installment of Market Plus. Next week on the TV program, we'll have a look at pairing existing businesses with new owners in rural areas. And Sue Martin will join us to analyze the markets. I'm Paul Yeager. Thank you so very much for watching, listening, or reading. Have a great week.